Okay, turn to Genesis chapter 17. Actually, we've got to finish up a little bit in 16, just a very little bit. Remember last week we talked about Sarah's idea, or Sarai's idea, to help God out because God was moving too slow or might not be able to accomplish what he had promised. Came up with this idea. Abraham, you take Hagar, my handmaid, as a wife, and maybe you can have a child through her, and that's how God's going to provide. And we talked about the results of this and what took place and how this didn't work out too well, even in the short term, much less in the long term, because the child that's born to Hagar is Ishmael, and Ishmael is the father of the Arabic people, and we see the conflict even to this day between the Jewish nation and Arabic nations. And so we saw here the results of that. Sarai, I get to change those names today, and so I don't have to worry about saying that anymore, comes to Abram and says, you know what? Things aren't working out. You know, I got what I wanted because I thought this was how God was going to provide. But Abram says to her, deal with her how you want. She obviously deals cruelly to her. Hagar packs up and leaves, said, fine, I'm out of here. God meets her in the wilderness and says, gives her some information about her child that she's pregnant with. Description, verse 12, he will be a wild man, his hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. And again, we see how, even down to this day, how that nation or that nationality, those people are just that way. They fight amongst themselves, they fight with everybody else, that's just the way they are. So he tells her to go back and submit to Sarai, so apparently that has taken place. We came to verse 14, tells us about the well where this took place. Verse 15, we got, like I said, two verses to go in chapter 16. Verse 15 of chapter 16 says, and Hagar bare Abram a son, and Abram called his name, which Hagar bare, Ishmael. So apparently, when Hagar got back, she conveyed this meeting, if you would, she had with God and what he had told her, because it says Abram named him Ishmael. Well, why would he pick that name unless Hagar had told him what had taken place? And probably was, I've come back, God told me to come back. So apparently things had been mended somewhat reasonably at that point. Abram calls his son Ishmael, and Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore Ishmael to Abram. 86 is how many? 86. So at 85, he marries Hagar, and they have a child. By the time he's 86, the child is born. Keep these dates in mind. Do you remember how old he was when God promised him? 75. So it's been how long?
10 years.
Yeah, 86, 11 years. Yeah. Or, yes, somewhere along in there, you know, and obviously it could be the first of the year, the end of the year, you know, whatever. Approximately 11 years since God promised Abram that he would become the father of many nations. That's a long time to wait, isn't it? Does that mean God's not going to complete his promises because we got to wait some years? No?
Not a bit, because I was just this morning in my reading, and the closing reference was that the Lord is returning. Mm-hmm. And we've been waiting on him for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But he's coming.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not lose hope.
Right. Yep, many times we pray for different situations, different individuals, whatever their case may be, don't lose heart. God will work his will and his way. Obviously, it wasn't in Sarai's time frame because she thought it was taking too long, or Abram's for that matter, because he went along with it. But God still works. Interesting, as we go into the first verse of chapter 17, what do we see in that first verse? And when Abram was 90 years old and 9. Sorry, I didn't read that before. The Lord appeared to him. Wait a minute. Just the verse before, Abram was how old? 86. So it's been how long now? 13 years.
Of nothing
as far as Scripture records, that apparently Abram's doing well, prospering. This child that he still at this point thinks is going to be the promised son or promised inheritor, descendant for the line that God's going to provide. So 13 years, his son has been growing, things have been going well. Maybe he's assumed, yes, this is how God's providing, because nothing's changed in 13 years. And after 13 years, for sure, nothing is going to change, right? Not exactly. So, excuse me. So when he was 99, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. This Almighty God is a new name. Excuse me. The God is used here, and it is El Shaddai, this name. Here it is. I got to save that. El Shaddai means Almighty God, stressing his omnipotence. Interesting that God would use this name as he talks to Abram again. God's omnipotence. What's that mean? What's omnipotence mean? All powerful. Do you see where this is going? God says, I am all powerful. I am the all powerful one. And I'm going to tell you some things that's going to stress that point. He says, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. First, he admonishes Abram to be careful to walk in fellowship with him. Has that been a problem with Abram in the past? Yes, it has. We've seen a couple examples of that. And to be wholly, wholly dedicated to performing the will of God. The word perfect here does not mean you're perfect and sinless. Obviously, it means whole or complete. So, wholly dedicated to performing the will of God. These admonitions were not stated as conditions of the covenant that we're going to see here in a minute, but simply commands, things that he's supposed to do. Verse 2 starts out, and I will make a covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thy seed exceedingly. Some interesting things about this word covenant. It's mentioned in this chapter 13 times, that word covenant. Do you think there's a point that God is stressing here when he's talking to Abraham? I would say so. 13 times. 9 times it's called my covenant. 3 times it's called an everlasting covenant. We'll talk about that in a minute. And once it's called the covenant betwixt me and you. So this word covenant is used here 13 times, God saying to Abram as he appears to him, I will make a covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. Again, God reiterates or brings to Abram's mind this promise that he's made. I haven't forgotten. It's still coming. It's still taking place. It's been 24 years since I first promised this to you. It's been 13 years since it seems like there's been no communication, although there might have. It's not recorded in Scripture. But that your son has been growing, and you have, well, we won't get too far. Okay, so he reminds him of this, and Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him. And again, if God were to talk to you, I'd probably fall on my face in fear as well. Although God does talk to us through prayer, doesn't he, and through his word. Maybe it wouldn't be so bad if we fell on our face when we were doing that, would it? Just in, anyhow. It says, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Again, he's told him this when he told him right that in the verse before, and will multiply thee exceedingly. Neither shall thy name any more be Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham. Good, I don't have to say Abram anymore. Abraham, instead of exalted father, which Abram means, it's father of a multitude or father of many. For a father of many nations have I made thee. And I will make thee exceedingly fruitful and will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. Here's something we haven't heard God mention before to Abram, or now Abraham. Your descendants are going to be kings, which is interesting that he says here. Again, the third time in 3-4 verses, I will make thee exceedingly fruitful and make nations of thee. I will establish my covenant. Here's covenant between me and thee. God says, and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant. Here's the first time we see this phrase, everlasting covenant. How long does everlasting last?
A while.
A long while, doesn't it?
It's beyond what we can comprehend.
Right. Yep. Everlasting means exactly that. Everlasting. So does that mean that that covenant applies today?
Absolutely.
Yes, it does. Does that mean the covenant will apply in the future?
Absolutely.
For how long?
Forever.
Forever. So you understand the implication of this covenant that God has made with Abraham and his descendants, the nation of Israel, the Jewish nation. God says this is an everlasting covenant. He says,
the church is not it.
No, the church is not it. This is directly to Abraham. Sorry, now I'm going to mess up the other way. And his descendants. And it says, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. excuse me. Has the nation of Israel always followed God the way they should? No, they have not. We see that in Scripture as we read through their history. We know that today many of the nation of Israel do not follow after God. But God has always had some, a remnant. There's always been individuals that follow God in the nation of Israel. So he will be a God unto thee and unto thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and unto thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. Again, he says, I will be their God, but they have failed in the past. They continue to fail, but God always has a remnant. Interesting here, this is the second time we see everlasting, well, the word everlasting, not everlasting covenant. What's he talking about here? The everlasting what? Possession of the land of Canaan. Again, the same thing applies. How long does that last? Forever, never ending. Do they possess the land now?
Not totally.
No, they don't. Have they ever possessed the land in its entirety?
No.
No, they never have. They never drove out all of those tribes and nations that were within the land if they never possessed the entire land completely like God has told them to. But it will happen someday. God has said it here. This is an everlasting covenant. It will take place, and they will reign and possess that land forever again. And God said unto Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. Is the covenant dependent upon Abraham and or his descendants keeping any stipulations within the covenant? No. The covenant is based on God and not Abram. Now, Abram's enjoyment of that completed covenant is based on his obedience. In other words, God will see that the covenant takes place. The fulfillment or enjoyment of that, the full enjoyment of that, is dependent upon Abram and his obedience and that of his descendants. Obviously, they don't possess the land now. Why? Because they haven't been obedient, probably. Otherwise, God would allow them to possess the land. And then, obviously, God's got a plan that I'm not aware of. But as we think about this, how about our relationship with God? If we sin, that means we're no longer saved, right? No, it doesn't, because God has made a covenant with us as well. God is responsible for keeping that. But our enjoyment or the fulfillment of that is based upon or is dependent upon our obedience, right? God makes all sorts of promises in Scripture, but if we're not obedient, we can't expect to fully enjoy the totality of those covenants or promises that God has made. So we need to understand this as well. He goes on to say, this is my covenant, again, which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man-child among you shall be circumcised. So God, presents this symbol that for the covenant between God and him. So circumcision was commanded as a sign of the covenant. And what's he tell him here? He says, this is my covenant which you shall keep between me and thee, you and thy seed after thee. Every man-child you shall be circumcised. And you shall circumcise the flesh of the foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man-child in your generations, that he is born in the house or bought with money of any stranger that is not of thy seed, and that is born in thy house, and he that is bought with thy money, must needs be circumcised, and my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised man-child whose flesh, his foreskin, is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people. He hath broken my covenant. So God implements this sign, this thing that they're supposed to do, as a reminder of the covenant. Every child, every servant, every individual that's in his household. let me read a little paragraph here. For one to refuse, as it says in this last verse 14, to one who refused to submit to the circumcision, there is no other concession to be shown. His refusal would demonstrate his overt unwillingness to follow God, and he must therefore be cut off from his people. This penalty normally meant that he would be exiled from Israel and from an inheritance in it. In some instances where this phrase appears in Scripture, it may actually refer to capital punishment. So we see that God implements this, tells Abram, this is what you need to do for all those who are going to partake in my covenant. this is what needs to take place. Which means all those individuals need to submit to that being done at that point in time. He continues on here in verse 15 and talks about Sarah. And God said unto Abram, as for Sarai thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. Good, now I can call her Sarah. Do you know what Sarah means?
Princess.
That's kind of an interesting meaning name, isn't it? Princess.
Do you know what Sarai
means? Do what?
Do you know what Sarai
means? I did, but I forgot.
I think it means contentious.
Yeah, I think it does too. Interesting, the change in names here. Verse 16, God continues as he's talking to Abraham and says, and I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of peoples shall be of her. And Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old, and shall Sarai that is 99 old bear? 90, sorry. And Abram said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. As God mentions this to Abraham, what do you think's going through his mind?
He messed up.
Quite possibly. After all this time, I'm finally seeing some of the consequences of my actions. I mean, he'll continue to see consequences of those actions. But all of a sudden, well, not all of a sudden, God has told him before that he had a child and would be the father of many nations. But now he says specifically, you're wrong. Sarah, your wife, is going to have a child. And let's continue on. So you got to wonder what he's thinking at this point in time. It says here that he laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him? Two possibilities here. Is Abraham laughing because he doesn't believe God can do this, or it can't take place? I don't know. We'll see later that Sarah laughs and God confronts her about it. One commentator said, Abraham was so elated that God promised that he laughed with joy and surprise. That it was not a laugh of doubt is evident because he doesn't confront Abraham as he did Sarah later. So I don't know. Either way. But obviously he is startled, surprised at this change. Maybe he is happy that finally Sarah will be able to have a child. But again, it mentions here, look, I'm now 100 years old and Sarah's 90. Is this going to happen? It's interesting, God's timing. Because even in Abraham's response to what God has told him, Abraham figures it's too late. I'm 100, and Sarah, my wife, is 90. She's past having children. It's interesting. Do you know how old Abraham's father was when he had Abraham? 130. Interesting, isn't it? Yet Abraham says, I'm past, you know, being able to have children. Of course, Abraham's father, Terah, lived 30 years longer than Abraham did in overall lifespan. Not that makes a difference. By the way, God can do whatever he wants because Sarah dies. This is skip ahead a little bit. Sarah dies when Abraham's 137 years old. And Abraham does what?
Gets married and has children.
gets married and has children at 137, 138, 139, who knows, after that. Is anything too difficult for the Almighty God? No. Can God do things physically to our human bodies that we think are impossible? Yes, he can. Here's an example right here, how God can accomplish whatever his desire is, whenever his desire is, in his time frame and not in our time frame. Pastor.
I think about a marriage and the relationship between a couple, and obviously everybody, when they get married, if they're normal, they look forward to having children. Mm-hmm. And it does not always happen instantly. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they give up and adopt, and then, interestingly enough, it's almost comical, as we've heard of stories like that. But perhaps this laughter, in our day, I mean, 75 and 65, that's when the two start out mm-hmm. the story. And according to their human physical goings on, they were still active sexually, mm-hmm. and I'm sure they had been trying all those years because God made a promise to us, and it had never happened. And to me, that's where Abraham's laughter is. It's finally going
yeah.
to happen.
Mm-hmm.
We have been trying all these years.
Mm-hmm.
My wife has been barren all these years, and it's finally been
mm-hmm. yep.
Nothing's too hard for God.
Nope, definitely not. So interesting here, after he tells him this, or after Abram's reply about Sarah being 90 and me being 100, Abram said unto God, "Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee." It's been 13 years that this son has been growing up, and I'm sure that in that 13 years, Abraham and Sarah have been looking at him as their heir that God was going to bless and make a nation out of. It's interesting here that even though he hasn't mentioned it quite yet, he says that Sarah is going to have a child, and Abraham says, "Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee." In other words, maybe he understood what was coming on in the next few verses, but he still desired that his son Ishmael would live before God. So he's kind of sticking up for his son of 13 years old that's grown up by his side to this point. God says, "Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son indeed." So how many times has he told him now? You know, I'm telling you this, and you're still talking about Ishmael. I'm telling you, Sarah is going to conceive and bear a son, and you're going to call his name Isaac. And God says, "I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant and with his seed after forever." and his seed after him. Again, here's that word everlasting with covenant. And this time, God is saying, my covenant that I'm establishing with you is going to follow, Isaac's line, not Ishmael. Not Ishmael. If there was any confusion in Abraham's mind up to this point, God has settled that issue. My covenant is not with your 13-year-old son that you had with Hagar. your second wife because you didn't wait for me. My covenant is going to be with the son that you're going to have in your old age. When you and your wife figured are too old and I can't accomplish that, through him I'm going to make this covenant. He says, although, verse 20, and as for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. So he says, yes, I understand this child that is your child, and I will bless him and make him a great nation as well. 12 princes shall he beget. In other words, he's going to be a great nation as well. But that's, go ahead.
I'm just wondering if Abraham might have been afraid that Ishmael was going to be punished because he was born in a rebellious act.
I don't know.
Maybe he's like, oh, wait. So you're saying he's not the promised one, and I went around you, and don't punish him for my sin.
Maybe. I don't know. We have no indication of that, but who knows what Abram's thinking at this point when everything he's been living for 13 years has now changed. And now he understands that that wasn't God's plan, that wasn't the way God wanted to make his seed the father of many nations. You know, that wasn't the covenant that he was making was with Hagar. It was actually going to be through his wife. So I'm sure a lot of things are going through his mind as God explains this to him. Yet obviously he loves this child, his son of 13 years old, and I don't want him to be completely forgotten is what he's saying, I think.
God's dealings with Ishmael, to me, is an excellent example of God's grace.
Mm-hmm.
God did not have to do that to cover Abraham's blunder.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And made a great father of nations,
right,
in spite of Abraham's lack of faith, mm-hmm, back then 13 years ago.
Yep.
But he promised his mother that he would early on when she went.
Yep, yep.
He promised.
Yep. Yeah. What I'm saying is, God was so gracious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, because even Hagar, you're right. Yeah, but he did, yes. Yes, he did. And that even that was an act of grace.
Yes, it was.
That I will still make that child the father of many nations. Okay, Lord bless you this morning. We're dismissed. We'll continue on next week.